what shall we do because He loves us? I'm continuing a series on faith for our children. And we all have a universal desire for our children. We want good for our children. We want what's best for our children. Of course, many immigrants, they want to make a better life for their children. They want to, they have faith for their children, that their children are going to advance beyond how they've advanced in their life, living and working for something fundamental in life. And it's the same thing spiritually, that we live in such a way that our young people can stand on our shoulders and go further in the Lord. Not to gain the so-called American dream, but to learn to give their life as champions for the Lord. The irony of the kingdom, we've talked about the kingdom today, the irony of the kingdom of God is that we go up by giving up. As we lose our life, we gain our life. Jesus said in Matthew 10:39, whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. We've been working through Hebrews chapter 11, which is the chapter of faith, heroes, champions of faith. And I want to review some on Hebrews 11:17. We have the story of Abraham and Isaac. And of course, that's from Genesis chapter 22, where God tested Abraham. And He told Abraham to sacrifice his only son, the son through whom would come the promise of God. And it says in Genesis 22:8, it says, and the two of them walked on together, Abraham and Isaac. What a beautiful picture, father and son walking together. And that's a picture for us as parents, that we walk with our children. It really is a picture of a trusting relationship between Abraham and Isaac. So much so that as Isaac, a teenage young man, as he saw his father binding him and putting him on the altar. I wish I could have seen that. But they had such a trust relationship for that to happen. And of course, God stopped Abraham in his tracks. But for just the importance of us as parents having that relationship with our young people and children, your most important relationship is your relationship with your parents. Children, your most important relationship is your relationship with your parents. You want to have a great relationship with your parents. You don't want to hide anything from your parents. You want to walk with your parents and talk with your parents and have an open, godly relationship with your parents. And then in Hebrews 11:20, it refers to Isaac blessing Jacob and Esau. Earlier in life, Esau had sold his birthright for a bowl of lentil stew. He sold his life's inheritance for the momentary desire to have soup, to have a bowl of lentil stew. He gave up his destiny for his flesh. He gave up his destiny for the things of this world. And this represents our selling our spiritual long-term inheritance for the immediate things of this world. It applies to us. It applies to our young people. Young people, we need to see the importance of the spiritual over the worldly. We need to see the importance of the kingdom of God as opposed to the kingdoms of this world. Mr. Rudolph brought out a number of different kingdoms of this world. And we need to see the importance of the kingdom of God over the kingdoms of this world. To not get caught up in the things of this world. Not to get caught up in the entertainers of this world. Not get caught up in the professional athletes of this world. But to see the long term over the short term. Esau in his flesh wanted it now. So much so that he gave up his future. And so we need to emphasize the eternal over the worldly with our young people. To honor the Lord, even if it looks as if in the short term it works against our promotion. And then in Hebrews 11:21 it says, by faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. Jacob blessed his sons. He blessed his grandsons as he worshipped. And we need to know that we bless our children when we worship the Lord. One of the most powerful forces in the world is the force of a father's example to his children. One of the most powerful forces in the world is the force of a mother's example to her children. Our children need to see us worshiping God wholeheartedly at the top of our voices, losing ourselves in His presence. They need to see us worshiping God with all of His heart. And as we do so, we bless our children. We transfer something substantive to our children, something of utmost value to them. We train them to worship the Lord. And children, may I see all the children's eyes up here? I want to challenge you to give your whole heart in worshiping the Lord. There's a reason why you learn how to read. Why you learn how to read in kindergarten and in first grade. We want you to learn how to read and become strong readers so that you can read the Word of God. We want you to learn how to read and become strong readers so you can share the Word of God with people. We want you to learn how to read so that when the words go up on the screen, you can sing those words at the top of your voices to worship Him and really come into His presence and truly engage with the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to challenge you, children, to learn to give all of yourself as unto the Lord. That's how you become a champion. And then in Hebrews 11:22, it talks about how Joseph, at the end of his life, gave instructions about his bones. He gave instructions about his bones. You think, why would someone care about their bones? And there's a passage at the end of Genesis where Joseph gives these instructions. And he said twice, God will help you. What a great message for his progeny, that God will help you. He told them that God would help them and bring them to the promised land. And so having faith for our children is seeing that the promises to us may be fulfilled through our children. God gives you promises. God gives promises for your life, and they may be fulfilled through your children. All right, I've been greatly impacted by the story of Fanae and Tuadros over here, and how God released them from a very persecuting state in Eritrea, and how Fanae was walking with her girls, walking through checkpoints, but she had a promise from God. She was walking through checkpoints in which her life, people's lives were being taken. And she just had to walk through these checkpoints. And she trusted God and she was released from that persecuting government. She was released and she was freed. And now we have these beautiful girls. Everyone, Beth wave. Lydia wave. Johanna wave. All right? That is a promise from God. They are here today because of the promise of God upon them and how God kept them safe. God kept them secure. They were able to walk through checkpoints that others were not able to walk through. And they are here today. And that's such a great blessing to all of us. To discipline consistently is to love faithfully. Is to have faith for our children. When we have faith for our children, we discipline them consistently. That is having faith for our children. And even amid our disciplining of our children, we're communicating a sense of destiny to them, that God has a plan for them. Children, when your parents discipline you, it means that they love you. It means that they care for you. It means that they are concerned about your future, that they want you to have a great future. And that all leads us to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. It says, by faith, Moses' parents, hid Moses for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child. Every parent thinks their child is extraordinary, right? Because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edicts. All right, we see Roman back here. I don't know if he's in here right now, but Roman is no ordinary child. All right, he's got the grace of God upon him, just walking around and so forth and all happy and everything. But who's commended here? Is Moses commended here? Actually, it's Moses' parents that are commended here. It wasn't Moses' faith that is commended here. It's Moses' parents' faith that is commended. The king's edict was that all Israelite males would be killed at birth, that they'd be thrown in the Nile River. And we see from Stephen's historical account in Acts chapter 7, we see much. We see that Moses was no ordinary child, that his parents thought he was special. But Moses, in his life, went through so many twists and turns in his life. Moses actually committed murder. Think of that, parents. If your child committed murder, you'd think, total failure. My child committed murder. All right, that's it. I mean, what else could there be to life? He's going to be known as a murderer for the rest of his life. What if your son committed murder? And yet God's destiny was still fulfilled in Moses. Moses spent many years in the desert. It wasn't until Moses was 80 years old when God's destiny started to be fulfilled in his life. 80 years old. And you parents thought maybe you had to do this for just 18 years old. 80 years old. Moses led God's people out of Egypt. And Acts 7:37 says, "And he received living words to pass on to us." Recall his parents' faith when Moses was just a babe. He was no ordinary child. Moses ended up becoming one of the world's greatest leaders. Parents, perhaps not till much later in life, when God's purposes will be realized in your children's lives. One thing we need to realize is that for all of us, our growth is not finished when we turn 18. Parents, the relationship changes when our children reach adulthood, but the process continues. Really, that process is all about relationship. That relationship enables you to have that continuing influence in your children when our children become adults. And they have more, of course, privilege and rights and responsibilities in this world. But it doesn't end there. But it's through having that relationship. The Bible says that Moses was, quote, powerful in speech and action. He was powerful in speech and action. And yet Moses had to go through desert training. We all want faith for our children to be gifted. We love it when our children have a gift in this area. Maybe they're a great athlete, or they're a great musician, or they got that artistic flair, that dramatic flair, this kind of thing. We love it when our children are gifted to be powerful in speech and action. But more importantly, faith for our children is having faith that God will work His character in them. And God uses desert experiences to do so. Moses fled to the Midian desert. Moses left a life of luxury in Egypt. He went to the desert, which is a symbolic, of course, of a dry time, of trials in our lives, symbolic of waiting, suffering, perhaps being persecuted. For Moses, a man who was powerful in speech and action, he had to be in the desert. And he was in the desert so much so that when God called him, Moses had no more self-confidence. He had no self-confidence whatsoever. Moses definitely did not see himself as eloquent Instead of being powerful in speech and action, Moses called himself slow of speech and tongue. Moses was stripped of self. He was stripped of self-confidence. And sometimes that process happens in our lives. Sometimes that process happens in our young people's lives. And sometimes it's hard for us as parents to see our young people go through that process, where perhaps they had all this precocious confidence as a young child, but now as they're getting older, they seem to be losing that confidence. The great man of God, Peter, was stripped of his confidence. He had to be stripped of self so that God could use him. So we and our young people go through this process, these desert experiences. I know when the Lord called me, I had no self-confidence whatsoever. I was barely surviving, making it from day to day. And what the Lord does, God changes our self-confidence into Christ consciousness. He changes our confidence in ourselves into being conscious of Jesus Christ. And that is a process of coming forth in God that the Lord has for all of us. And that is a process. And that's something that we as parents have to believe for our children, for our young people. Because that's sometimes an excruciating process for us to see our young people to go through. But it is a process that all of us really have to go through as we come forth in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 11:24, it says, "By faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter." Moses chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. What do you want for your child? Do you want the American dream for your child? Do you want the Egyptian dream for your child? Do you want the good things of America, the good things of Egypt? Do you want the things of this world, materialistic things? Or do you want your child to be raised up as a Moses? Moses had the Egyptian dream. He had all the pleasures of this world. He had it all. Moses was in line to take the throne of Egypt. Instead, Moses chose to identify with slaves. He chose to give it all up and identify with the Lord and his people who were slaves at the time. Again in verse 25 it says, Moses chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He sold all for Christ. He shunned the things of this world. He gave it all up for the sake of Christ. He gave it all up for the sake of his true inheritance in Christ. He gave it all up to take on the challenge of serving God and serving God's people and helping to lead his people. Really, people that would often complain and grumble and murmur, to follow the plan that God had for them. He sold all for the sake of Christ. In verse 26, it says, Moses regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. Greater value, disgrace for the sake of Christ. What a goal. How's that for a goal for your children? That my children would embrace disgrace. Amen. That they would embrace disgrace for the sake of Christ. That they would be willing to live a life of disgrace. That they'd be willing to stand up and be counted for the Lord Jesus Christ. To stand up for God's people. To help others even while being criticized. To help others even while being complained about. To serve those who sometimes don't want the service. To serve God and his purposes. Coming forth in the Lord Jesus Christ is a process. And it's a process for our young people. And it's a process for every single one of us. It's a process about learning to take up one's cross and follow Him. Learning to embrace the cross. I sometimes think about Jesus Christ. And of course, I think about His experience on the cross, dying on the cross. But more often, I think about what it was like for Him to anticipate the cross. To look forward to the cross. How long did Jesus have to look forward to the cross? To know that the cross was His destiny. How did Jesus deal with that? How did He get up in the morning, every morning, realizing that He was ultimately going to die on a cross? How did He go to sleep every night, thinking that He was going to ultimately die on a cross? How did He deal with that? And it challenges me to know how I'm called to deal with this as well, in identifying with Him and embracing the cross in my life. And so coming forth with the Lord Jesus Christ is learning to identify with Christ in anticipating the cross. It means not only enduring the cross while it's happening, but the time leading up to the cross. And you know, that's where we learn to utterly depend on Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because there's no other way. There's no other way. Verse 27. It says, by faith Moses left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw Him who is invisible. Moses left Egypt. He left the luxury of Egypt. He left the good times of Egypt. It says he persevered because he saw Him who is invisible. He trusted an invisible God. He looked ahead to His reward instead of having His reward now. Instead of saying, I want it now. He was willing to put off His reward. And faith for our children changes their values from the values of this world to the values of the kingdom. For you young people going to college, faith impacts your decisions. Faith impacts your values. Faith impacts both the little decisions of life and the big decisions of life. If God is truly working in your life, it will impact your decisions about life. Ultimately, our values impact our life. And our values are from our faith in Jesus Christ. And that's the faith we need to have for our children. That Jesus Christ is going to be born up in them so much so that when they get out of our home and they go off and they have to make decisions on their own, when push comes to shove, that they're going to make values that reflect the kingdom of God. We're going to make decisions that reflect the kingdom of God to follow Him. Faith changes our decisions and our children's decisions. Moses saw Him who is invisible. He had a relationship with Christ. Exodus 33:11 says, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. What a relationship with the Lord that Moses had. And so, young people, children, I encourage you to see the invisible. To see the invisible. To see that Jesus Christ is with you, as was so powerfully pronounced to us today by God today. To see that He's at your right hand. To see that He goes before you. To see that He's behind you. To see that He is with you. But it's not just something we hear over and over and over. But He is with you. He is with us. To have a relationship with Jesus Christ. In which you walk with Him. And you talk with Him. When you get up and go into college or young adulthood. That you walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. That you talk with the Lord Jesus Christ. That you cry out to Him.
Amen.
That you have a relationship with Him. But when you're going through stuff, all right, then you go and you talk with Him. You talk it out with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you let Him lead you and guide you. Let's turn back to Hebrews 11, verse 1. It says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. Having faith for our children. We need to have faith. We need to communicate faith. We need to believe for our children. Parents, this is how we receive the Lord's commendation in our lives. We need to walk in faith. We need to see to it. We need to train in faith. We need to communicate in faith. We need to encourage in faith. We need to discipline in faith. We need to call forth in faith. And young people, God is saying, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. How do you please God? Says Hebrews 11:6, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Young people, this is what's on my heart today, and I believe this is what's on God's heart. What's on our heart is that you make it through.
Yes.
That you don't become a statistic.
Amen.
That you don't lose your faith. That you make it through high school, you make it through college, you make it through young adulthood, and you become a servant of the Lord.
Amen.
That you don't just make it to get a nice house or make it to get a nice car, but you make it to become a servant for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hold on to your faith. Don't lose your faith.
Amen.
That's how you please God. Have a loving, trusting relationship with Jesus Christ. Sell everything for Christ.
Amen.
Trust God. Trust His Word. Have faith in Him. Give up your life. That's how you become a champion.
Amen.
And as you seek God with all your heart, as you sell all for Him, He reveals your destiny.
Amen.
He tells you that He has something for you.
Amen.
He has a reward for you. He has a way for you to invest. He has a way for you to give of yourself every single day of your life for God's kingdom. Let's all stand for prayer.